Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. And we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, which is available on both iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. And you can get to us anytime by email, stevejones at wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And Sean Carey here. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Major League Baseball winter meetings are underway in Florida. Major League Baseball insider from CBS Sports, R.J. Anderson, will join us at 3:35. And from USA Today, their senior NFL writer, Neil Coulong, will join us next hour. Talk some Steelers football as we can finally say it is Steelers-Patriots week. Now, how about the Patriots last night? They still play well in Florida at the Dolphins for some reason. Rough night last night for Brady. Dolphins played well. Maybe it's something to do with those throwback uniforms. Just wear those the rest of the way, huh? I have a feeling that could be our play-by-play call of the day next hour. So we'll get some hot stove baseball conversation going. Get some NFL football going next hour as well. So speaking of the Major League Baseball hot stove action, a name that's being kicked around is Manny Machado. We mentioned him yesterday. Orioles are shopping him. But there's a twist. He wants to move from third base to shortstop as he enters his final season before free agency. Now, the Orioles want to get a couple of pitchers in return for Machado on the trade. So maybe the Phillies will look at him. We'll have to wait and see on that. So we'll get RJ's take on that and much more in the latest from the winter meetings coming up at 3:35. A story that broke overnight. NFL Network has suspended three former players-turned-analysts. Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, former Pittsburgh Steeler Ike Taylor, and former Super Bowl champion from the Patriots and Saints Heath Evans, amid allegations of sexual harassment made in a lawsuit. According to an NFL spokesperson, the three were suspended pending an investigation into allegations detailed in a complaint filed by Jamie L. Cantor, who's a former makeup artist who worked for the network. She no longer works there. But her attorneys filed a complaint yesterday, lists a number of graphic details, and another person that's involved. It's not just the three from NFL Network, but also a president, Eric Weinberger. He's a former executive at NFL Network. He's now president for The Ringer. So he now works with Bill Simmons. That's Bill Simmons' new digital project, The Ringer. So he is involved with that. And actually, Weinberger is now on indefinite leave from The Ringer as well. So more shoes are dropping when it comes to famous people getting involved with stuff that they shouldn't be doing. And look at Mario Batali yesterday, celebrity chef, no longer on The Chew on ABC. He's gone amid allegations. So just makes you wonder who's next. So it just doesn't surprise me when it comes to stuff like that anymore, and it's a shame. Our email is stevejones at wkok.com. Get in contact with us anytime. Last season, a kick that went wide right in Week 17 cost Colts kicker Adam Vinatieri $500,000. How about that snow in Buffalo on Sunday? Bills versus Colts. Well, that snow may have kept Vinatieri from collecting another $500,000. It turns out his field goal percentage dropped to 88%. He went 0-for-2 on field goal attempts during that blizzard. So he's now 22 of 25 for the year. He gets a $500,000 bonus for making 90% of his field goal attempts. Minimum of 16 attempts. He's past that. He's up to 25 attempts. Now, he went into Sunday's game having made 95% of his field goal attempts. 22 of 23. So he's now 22 of 25. So he's going to have to go at least 5-for-5 on field goals over the next three games so he can get his percentage back up to at least 90% or higher. So that'll get him that extra $500,000 bonus.
Wow. All right.
And he has been in the he's been in the NFL 21 seasons going into this year. So. But he's he also has a shot to pass Pro Football Hall of Famer Morton Anderson on the NFL's all-time scoring list. Vinatieri needs 84 points to pass Morton on the all-time points list.
Yeah. Terrific. Best bad weather kicker I ever saw. Ooh. Unreal.
But he was put to the test on Sunday.
Yeah, but it's not the first time.
I don't get that, though. It was fun watching the Buffalo game in the snow, but
yes,
where are the plows? I mean, you couldn't maybe delay half, you maybe have an extended halftime, maybe another 15-20 minute halftime to at least get a couple plows out there to plow the snow off the field. That was really piling up out there.
It's the no fun league, man. What are you thinking? So the Patriots lose last night. Got a lot of pressure.
Something about playing in Miami. That's just not their scene sometimes.
You know what I laugh about, and you know how I feel about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Winning is great. And we do a terrible job in this business of celebrating winning. Terrible.
Truth be told, as a Steelers fan, I would have rather have seen the Patriots win that game last night. Because I can't remember off the top of my head when was the last time they lost two games in a row. It's been a while. I think that may give them a little more fire, a little more motivation. Not that they would need any more going into Sunday's matchup in Pittsburgh.
Oh, stop panicking.
Oh, I'm not panicking. I'm just kind of laying it out. It's like I would have rather have seen them win that last
Every single time.
Trust me, between now and Sunday, you're not going to have to text me and be concerned about my well-being if you have to talk me off the bridge. I'm not going to. I'll be fine. You don't have to worry about that.
You're barely making it now.
I'm just relieved that it's finally Patriots week. We can finally talk about it. No looking ahead to the game for a change. It's finally here.
Yes. Well, look. We do a lousy job of celebrating winning. Joe Paterno told me decades ago, it was back in the 80s. And Joe, I did a pregame show with him, and it had nothing to do with anything I asked him. But Penn State was coming off a loss. And I was doing the pregame show with him. And back then, when I was the third announcer, I had to do pregame and postgame with him. So I sat down and talked to him. This is actually before I did the interview. He says, "You know, Steve, what people forget?" And I said, "What's that?" He says, "Sometimes when it doesn't look like we're doing well, it's because the other guy's doing something right." Well, last night, the Miami Dolphins did a lot of things right. That's why they won the game. The focus is all on, oh, the Patriots didn't do this, they didn't do that. It's because the Dolphins took all that stuff away last night. The great interception that Howard had on the pass down the middle, great play, the pressure they got on Brady up the middle. They exploited their matchups. They had matchup advantages up the middle. that some teams don't have. See, and that's where the Steelers have an issue. The Steelers do not have very good matchups up the middle against the Patriots. Now, their matchups on the edge with Cam Hayward, pretty good. Steelers do not have good matchups with linebackers against what the Patriots do offensively. And then the secondary, you know, I think the Patriot receivers are good, not great. And then you flip it to the other side. I think this is actually one of Bill Belichick's better jobs. And the reason I think that is they've had such a mishmash in talent and in parts. It's been like a jigsaw puzzle, the way Belichick has had to put it together.
Oh, watching the starting lineups when they were popping up on the screen last night, I mean,
Who are these people?
Exactly, other than, you know, Chris Hogan, which we've well documented here on this show, and Tom Brady. I mean, on offense, you're right, outside of those two and Danny Amendola, of course.
Yeah. Now, Gronk will be back.
Yeah.
So Gronk will be back, and he becomes a really tough matchup for the Steelers with Ryan Shazier out. Shazier could handle Gronk. Shazier has the speed to handle Gronk. Maybe not the size, but he's got the speed. He's one of the few linebackers I feel that you can put on Gronk and in a 20-yard window can cover him. Now, beyond 20, no.
Well, one Steelers linebacker that really has to step up is Bud Dupree. Only had one tackle on Sunday night.
Yeah.
He's got something. The light has to go off sometime, right?
Sure. If you think this is the time, yeah. But I think Roethlisberger is poised to have a big game. I think the one thing that's been interesting about watching the Patriots over the years, the Patriots have always had the ability, and it's not a cliche, it's a fact. Bill Belichick, for the most part, has had the ability with his defense along with Matt Patricia to take away your best option. And in this case, for the Steelers, that would be Antonio Brown, I would think. But here's what I see now. I know the Patriots have only lost three times this year. So it's not like you're looking at a season that's off the rails. They're 10-3. But I'm not so sure that they have the nuts and bolts available to take away Antonio Brown. I don't think they're good enough to take away Antonio Brown. Now, they're good enough to take away Martavis Bryant. Most teams are. they're good enough to take away Jesse James. I mean, McDonald's not going to play. And I think they're good enough to take away, believe it or not, Le'Veon Bell. But I don't think they are. In past years, I think the Patriots would be good enough to take away Antonio Brown. Because they took him away in the AFC Championship game. Did he play? I mean, I know when Bell got hurt, that really put the onus on Antonio Brown, and he ended up doing virtually nothing in the game. But I'm not so sure the Patriots are good enough now to take away an option.
You're right, because when they played the Patriots up at Foxborough, you know, Belichick has that knack. You know, he does what he does. He takes away your strongest weapon, as we did last year.
Right.
You know, took Brown out of the mix pretty much.
Right. He may bracket him, double him. He may put somebody on the line of scrimmage that belts him off the line of scrimmage, and then they single him with somebody else. But he draws a different kind of attention. Because they want to make sure if you're going to beat us, you're not going to beat us with your best guy. So that's what he wants to do. I'm not so sure the Patriots are good enough defensively to do that right now. I mean, they've lost a lot of players. That's why they were running the starting lineup last night. I'm like, hey, I think I know a lot about football. You know, like who's playing it? Boy, a lot of them went, really? Who? What? They got him from where? They got him from Reykjavik A&M? What the? Really? Okay. So. But that's coming up. Let's see. Damon Heward, the analyst for Washington Football, is going to join us on the show Thursday. How about that one? I like it. And I did find out, because I already did the Washington pregame show on their network. I asked him about Bob Rondo, their play-by-play guy. And the Seattle Post-Intelligencer ran a story before the Apple Cup saying that was Bob's last game. Well, evidently, it's not Bob's last game. Bob is going to do the Fiesta Bowl, so we have put in a request for him. Get his thoughts on it. And under the category of, okay, silly goose, what are you thinking? I've talked to Jack Ham how many times in the last 2 days? Not once did I ask him about doing the show. So we'll change that. I'll shoot him a text here later today and see if we can get him on the show next week. And today was the last column for Dick Girardi, who's retiring from the Philadelphia Daily News. Now, I'm not in a state of shock because I've known since April. But he wrote his last column today. It's online. And what a great run. He picked the perfect time in his life to to be a writer and work in that business. That 33-year run that Dick had was when newspapers were thriving, and he gets out at the tail end when they're dying. And he's not leaving when he's in his 40s. He had a 33-year run when papers were peaking. And he leaves when papers are starting to fall by the wayside. And he covered some football. He's, in fact, covered the 94 Penn State football team. But he covered basketball and he covered horse racing. His two wheelhouses. It's a pretty good run by a guy that is a dear, dear friend and proud to call him working colleague. He's just like Jack Ham to me, just like Jack. They're both great at what they do, and they both make me exponentially better. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Neil Coulong on the show today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ho, ho, ho. Billy, you're on the nice list this year. What can I get you for Christmas?
I would like two presents, Santa.
Go on, Billy.
I'd like a 7-passenger, third-row seat, all-wheel drive crossover SUV that's a top safety pick, gets great gas mileage, and comes with a 10-year warranty. And Santa?
Yes, Billy?
I only want to pay $339 a month for it.
No problem, Billy. I can lease you a new 2018 Kia Sorento from Sunbury Motors Kia.
But I probably have to put a lot of money down.
No, Billy, no money down.
Well, that probably doesn't include tax or tags.
It most certainly does, Billy.
So nothing hidden, just $339 a month?
Yes, Billy. Now, what else was it you wanted?
I would like a Red Ryder lever-action BB gun.
Oh, no, Billy. You'll shoot your eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out. You'll shoot your eye out.
I want to see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Don't miss the light up the holiday sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Offer available on select 2018 Kia Sorentos to qualified buyers through KMF Financing. Advertised lease rates based on 36 monthly payments of $339 a month with zero down. Mileage restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Neil Coulong, next half hour, talking about the Steelers and the Patriots. Very pleased to bring in MLB insider from CBS Sports, R.J. Anderson. R.J., welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Ironically, one of the MLB Network guys ended up working the Penn State basketball game on Saturday right when Giancarlo Stanton was being dealt by Miami to the Yankees. Everybody knew he was going to be dealt. Now that it's happened, how, in terms of the seismology, what did this do on the Richter scale of Major League Baseball?
Well, I think it's a huge deal because not only does it change the Yankees' offseason and what they've intended to do previously, but it's also a huge deal in the sense that the Yankees essentially added the reigning NL MVP and one of the best players in baseball for a package that frankly wouldn't have been enough to land, you know, most starting caliber outfielders, let alone MVP candidates. You know, the Yankees basically stole Stanton, and I know the financial aspect precluded a lot of teams from taking part in this process, as well as, you know, Stanton's demands to go to one of four teams. But what the Yankees gave up here is just laughable compared to the quality of player they got in return. You know, nothing against Starlin Castro, who was a fine starting second baseman, but other than that, the Yankees gave up two guys who probably weren't top 20 to top 25 in their system. And in return, they get Stanton, who, you know, is in his prime, who just won the NL MVP and who could threaten 60 home runs again a couple of times even when he's playing his home games in Yankee Stadium. So this is a huge deal, not only for the Yankees, but for baseball as a whole, because, you know, the Yankees' young core just got another impressive part of it. And, yeah, their lineup now has potentially, what, five or so hitters who could go out there and hit 30-plus home runs. And, you know, almost all of them can play defense, too. So it's a very impressive group, and it's going to be a very difficult group to maneuver around if you're in the American League East or in the American League as a whole.
Why could the Yankees get Stanton for a relatively inexpensive price, with all due respect to the players that were involved?
Yeah, so there's multiple reasons for that. And foremost, Stanton had leverage that a lot of players do not have, because he had a no-trade clause and he was able to offer the Marlins a list of four teams, basically the last four teams standing in the postseason. So that gave him leverage there. You add in also the contract. You know, the Marlins were intent on dumping his contract, dumping as much of it as they could. And, you know, the Yankees had the financial might to absorb a huge contract like this, because they haven't handed out many huge contracts in recent seasons. And, you know, you add those two factors together and you put it with an aggressive and innovative GM like Brian Cashman, and it was a perfect storm for the Yankees to trot in there and grab him. And I think another aspect here that shouldn't be mentioned is, you know, the upcoming free agent class next winter is going to feature Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, potentially Clayton Kershaw as well. So I think some of the other teams involved here, like the Cubs, for instance, were probably focused on perhaps pursuing one of them. And the Yankees, for their part, they were willing to take advantage of the situation as it presented itself now, and they got a deal done seemingly within a day. And, you know, as we've established, they really didn't give up a ton in terms of talent in order to make this deal happen.
Does this put more pressure on the Red Sox to maybe pursue a J.D. Martinez?
That's a great question, and I don't know if it necessarily puts more pressure on them to specifically pursue Martinez, but it probably does put more pressure on them to pursue, you know, Eric Hosmer or Martinez or whomever it is they deem their best option. Frankly, of those two, I would think it'd be Martinez, but, you know, everyone has their opinion and evaluations of these players. And, you know, it goes beyond the idea of a Yankees-Red Sox rivalry. You know, if you're the Red Sox, you don't want to necessarily get into the situation where you're accustomed to playing in the wild card game, because no team wants to do that. Everyone wants to win the division and be insured at least three games in the postseason, as opposed to a winner-take-all situation. So, you know, I think the Red Sox are going to go out there and do something big anyway, but this definitely gives them more incentive to do so.
RJ, as you've reported, the Orioles are reportedly shopping Manny Machado. He wants to play shortstop, as you say. Who's interested in him, and what are the Orioles looking to get out of a deal?
Well, frankly, I think every team would be interested in adding a player of Manny Machado's caliber. And if you're the Orioles, I think you're looking to get young pitching, because this is an organization that has really struggled to draft and develop or even sign and trade for quality starting pitchers. Now, the thing with Machado is he has 1 year left before he's going to hit free agency, and he's going to demand an absolutely blockbuster free agent contract. So that right there is going to prevent a lot of teams from having significant interest in him, because, you know, teams don't want to trade their best prospects and their best young pitchers for what amounts to a one-year rental. So I think you're going to see a lot of the usual suspects interested in Machado. It wouldn't surprise me if the Phillies get involved, because, you know, sooner than later, they're going to have to make a splash to really get this rebuild beyond the initial stages. It wouldn't surprise me to see the Cardinals sniff around there. You can maybe name a couple other big market teams, but I think those are going to be the main actors. And I don't know what the likelihood of the Orioles trading Machado is, because in the past, they, under Dan Duquette, have really opted to keep their core together, keep their players in town, and, you know, take as many chances and as many shots at making the postseason and maybe, you know, sneaking into a pennant victory as possible. So if they do trade Machado, it's a departure from their normal operating procedure, but it also speaks to the idea, at least on their part, that they're going to get a really, really nice return on him. Because, again, he is an outstanding player, and whether it's now or next winter, it seems almost like a given that he's going to end up in a bigger market on a richer contract than what Baltimore can offer.
RJ, as you mentioned, Bryce Harper next year. This year, one of the marquee names would happen to be Jake Arrieta. He's backed up by Scott Boras. Not a bad backup to have. He wants a huge contract. How big are they looking?
So the report is that Boras wants a $200 million contract for Arrieta. Now, obviously, he's not going to get $200 million. You know, in business circles, this is called anchoring. You set that high asking price that's not totally out of, you know, the ordinary. You know, like, he's not asking for, you know, $400 million or $200 million. It's a little bit higher than he's going to actually get. But this is just how these negotiations work. You know, the agent's always going to come in with a higher than likely figure. The teams are going to respond with a lower than likely figure, and they'll finish somewhere in the middle. I have reservations about giving Arrieta a big deal as it pertains to his consistency and the idea that he's going to hold up as he ages. But he is one of the best starting pitchers available. And, you know, some team is going to make the plunge and give him a big free agent deal and hope that he can give them 2 to 3 seasons of above-average starting work before he begins his decline. You know, that said, like you established, you know, Scott Boras is the best agent in baseball. He might be the best agent in all professional sports. And he knows what he's doing. And he sent the binder, this, like, 80-page binder to all the team owners or to the interested team owners. And he's probably going to work this deal out at ownership level, which is why you're going to see talk about perhaps the Nationals being involved, because Boras has done this before with the Nationals, where he goes directly to the owner, and the owner signs off on it and basically leaves the baseball operations department out in the cold on it. But, hey, it worked with Max Scherzer, and I don't think Arrieta is quite on that level, but who knows?
During the season last year, the name Andrew McCutchen was dangled by the Pittsburgh Pirates, RJ. Now, obviously, they kept him all the way through. He put together a really good season for Pittsburgh, but he's also now nearing the end of his contract. Is now the time to potentially move him, or can they play a game with him up until July 31st?
It really depends on what teams are offering at this point, because with McCutchen, you're right that he authored a really good rebound season, but most teams are probably going to start viewing him as a corner outfielder. You know, he's already into his 30s, and realistically, if you're the Pirates, this is almost, if not at the end of your competitive window for a few years, then it's pretty close to it. And, you know, you're going to see them shop around Gerrit Cole for the same reasons, even though he has 2 years left of team control. At some point, Pittsburgh just has to consider, you know, what are we realistically going to be able to do in this division this year with not only the Cubs, you know, still being a monster, and the Cardinals are going to go out there and get at least one impact bat, maybe a starting pitcher as well, and they're going to be in competition for that division crown all season long. The Brewers arrived a year earlier than anticipated, and they do not seem like they're going anywhere. So if you're the Pirates, you have to be realistic about your competitive chances this season. Odds are you're going to finish in fourth place. And, you know, Cincinnati, they have enough young talent that maybe they're the Brewers this season and they surprise everyone. So if you're Pittsburgh, you absolutely listen to offers on McCutchen. You listen to offers on Gerrit Cole. You might even listen to offers on Felipe Rivero and see how crazy teams are willing to get to chase this bullpen revolution idea. I don't know if any of those guys necessarily will get moved, but that's the logic behind it, and it would not surprise me if the Pirates do indeed trade McCutchen and or Cole before opening day.
And the Yankees would be interested in Gerrit Cole, correct?
Absolutely. They've already had talks about him. So.
Right. Back to the Yankees for a moment. They did deal Chase Headley, ironically, back to San Diego. Do you see something maybe in the works where, based on how everything is stacking up, that Jacoby Ellsbury is no longer a Yankee?
Well, they would like to move him, but the thing is he has a no-trade clause, and if you look at some of the reports out there, I believe Mark Feinstein of MLB.com had the report last night that Ellsbury is highly unlikely to waive his no-trade clause to leave New York. Now, maybe he changes his mind if a semi-competitive team offers to make him their everyday center fielder or whatever, and he decides he'd rather play and win rather than just sit on the bench and win. But I don't know. For variables beyond what I can say, I guess at this point I would assume that Ellsbury will still remain in New York. But it's also possible they decide, you know what, we'll just eat the contract to get the roster spot. and they designate him for assignment and release him. But right now, it looks like Ellsbury will be staying in New York.
What does it take for you, RJ, at this time of the year to sort through fact versus fiction?
That's a great question. And, you know, foremost, you have to consider the source of all these rumors and the source of some of this information. And you have to consider, you know, which side or which party of the involved trade rumor stands to benefit the most from releasing some of this information. You know, in the case of the Stanton talks, it seemed obvious at a certain point that it was the Marlins who were releasing information as a means of trying to stir up the market or at least, you know, look better in the press than they could have looked if they had just dealt Stanton within it without any of that bluster. You know, it's not an easy task, and I think we all get taken and caught up in some of these rumors and, you know, the hot stove hysteria and all, but I don't know. I don't think I have any real great tips other than make sure you're relying on reliable sources, be it through the media or if you're a reporter, you know, make sure the front office isn't just trying to use you as a pawn to, you know, irk another front office or force their hand or whatever. And for the most part, you know, just don't take it too seriously because this part of the year there is a lot of nonsense flying around and it's supposed to be fun. So keep that in mind and I think everyone will be okay and get through until spring training.
Well, no nonsense here. It was great to have you on. Appreciate it very much, RJ.
Of course. Yeah, thanks for having me, and you know, anytime.
Happy holidays to you and yours, by the way. RJ Anderson, MLB insider for CBS Sports. Next half hour, Neil Coulon. Tomorrow, Nathan Davis. Thursday, Damon Heward from the Washington Radio Network. And Bob Soci from the Patriots play-by-play broadcast booth. Trying to explain what happened last night. Steelers control their own destiny. It's going to be a lot of fun being there tomorrow, watching a certain someone pace back and forth between the break room and his office. Who might that be?
Not I.
It will not be you.
No.
Well,
unless he's locked in his office doing Lord's game prep. That could be, yeah.
See, that doesn't sound...
I know. I'm with you.
Okay. Lord's Regional. I don't think we want the suit doing the Lord's game prep. All right. We'll come back with four in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Penn's Tavern is where you want to celebrate this holiday season. Whatever feel you're looking for, Penn's Tavern along the Susquehanna River can accommodate your needs. Mountain stone walls and wood floors can be found in the original dining area, giving you that old world charm. Continue back to the newly renovated River Room with 12 PA microbrews on tap. Grab a burger and sit back and relax in this cozy pub area. Penn's Tavern has the best gift certificate offer for the holidays. Buy five gift certificates of the same denomination and receive a sixth one free. Penn's Tavern, a piece of heaven on Route 147, 5 miles south of Sunbury.
All right. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Boy, it is a cold one. Of course, we have our holiday party tomorrow, and I'll be in the station tomorrow for that. Looking forward to it very much. I've never been to one of the holiday ones before. They've always looked at the basketball schedule and said, when can we do this? This year I put out a faux one. No.
Little did you know.
Looking forward to it. You and I are going to have a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast. Can't wait.
Yeah, you and I will have a lot of fun.
We will.
Tomorrow night, it'll be great to see everybody. Just good to get together with everybody. I've seen everybody since August, which is, you know, actually, they all seem pretty happy about that. But, I mean, I think that is going to be, a blast tomorrow. So
yeah, since you were here in August, Kyle Alexander has joined the Sunbury Broadcasting family. Big time Penn State fan. He is looking forward to getting a chance to meet up with you tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing Kyle. That'll be great. That'll be great. The entire staff will be there, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I haven't gone up and down. I haven't gone down up in the hall. Yeah, you know, up and down the hall.
Is there anybody missing?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, we're all good then.
I think we're good.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So that'll be tomorrow. And we're at that time of the year. We are at that time of the year. This is got a party here. I got one with the Spikes coming up. Channel 3 has one. Ah, boy. It's
tis the season. Hustle and bustle.
Tis the season, yeah.
It is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Dilly dilly. Sure.
Dilly dilly. Yes, indeed. Speaking of dilly dilly, you and I need to stop over Brewer's Outlet.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to make a quick stop over there before we get rolling with anything. So that way we can walk in and go, dilly dilly.
Take the elevator up to the second floor. Elevator opens up, and then we proclaim, dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. If you'd like, he says, yeah, Sir Brad will take you. He'll give you a tour of the pit of misery. That is one of the better commercials, I have to admit.
Yeah, they're up to three now. There's now three of those commercials.
Well, I have no idea how good Geico insurance is. Zero. None. Nada. Could not tell you. But I'll say this. Whomever does their commercials does a good job.
I love the new one with the two guys on the ladders across the street from each other putting the Christmas decorations
up.
All
the lights, yeah. Yes. That's the new one.
That's a good one.
That's a new one.
Lights seen from space.
Well, there is a house here in Steak House. I have to tell you this. And it's near where my daughter lives, where Jen and her family live. Where if you go up Squirrel Drive off of College Avenue, across from where I just mentioned Brewer's Outlet, across where Hickey's is. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You go up that hill and two streets into Shamrock Drive, and you make a right. And my old life friend Bob Meininger lived on that street, but at the other end. You make a right, and this guy has a whole yard. Lights, inflatables, that stuff you buy for the windows where Santa's in the window waving at you. All the way down, there's a vacant lot next to him. Now, it used to be he'd take up half the vacant lot, but now the dude put up a fence, so he just puts all the stuff up in front of the fence, lined all the way down. If you can see someone's light display from the International Space Station, you have too much. And this guy is just... He has his own radio station, where if you tune it to 105.7 or whatever, people stop and they look at this. I don't know if they're looking at it and they're marveling at it or looking at it and shaking their heads. But you could put on holiday music as you look at the penguins on the pond and the big inflatable of Snoopy flying the Sopwith Camel on top of his doghouse. And it's quite the display.
I did come across a Facebook page, State College Holiday Lights. I don't know if that's the same house or not.
Oh.
But they have like a half an hour worth of music set to the lights.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. This has got to be the house. I mean, can you see the house from the road? Sort of, right?
Next time I'm down your way, I'm going to have to check it out.
You have to, Sean.
Well, we were up there doing shopping Saturday afternoon, but it was during daylight. It was before it got dark at 5.
Oh, he had him on during... Oh, you could have driven up just seen the whole thing. Would have been great.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.